Beginning at verse 20, and we'll read down to verse 25. No doubt it's an area that you know the outcome, you know how things changed, you know how things progressed, but there's an aspect I want us to touch on here. Matthew 25 and verse 20. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Let's read together these six verses. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Amen. I like the commendation that is given to the servants who were able to bring forth production from what was committed into their hands. The one given five gained five more. The one given two gained two more, and each of them heard, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And that's the part I want to touch on here tonight. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Praise God. I'm thankful that's what we are anticipating to enter into. Praise God. We sang that chorus, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. He hath made me glad. Praise God. It would be difficult to serve the Lord if it was otherwise, wouldn't it? I'm thankful he made us glad. You may be seated. Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise. And verse 4 in particular is where we got the words to the chorus that we sang. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Thank God that we have countless reasons to follow that command. And it's not a point a gun to your head type command that you obey or else. It's a privilege. Amen. Thank God that we know what he has done and how we can enter into his gates, into his courts, and be blessed there in the presence of the Lord. In his presence, the Bible tells us, Psalm 16:11, there is fullness of joy. Thank God that we can experience a measure of joy from time to time, and different experiences, different things that we have occur in our lives with family, with friends, and so on, with monetary gain, or you know, something works out in our favor and we experience some joy. But the fullness of joy that the Lord invites us to experience is in his presence. Thank God. But this entering in now is what I want to focus on. We enter. And that takes an effort. That takes movement. That takes doing. And that responsibility falls upon us. We have to enter into his gates. Now, Jesus said in more than one place, there's a straight gate. Everybody say straight gate. Straight. In the new translations, we know that that is probably translated more in terms of narrow or restricted or something along that line to give us the idea that we know it's not going to be just a free-flowing type situation. It's going to be a bottleneck, so to speak, so that it's just perhaps even just one at a time that are able to enter in. And yet the Lord admonished us in Luke 13 and 24, and this is the second time that he has mentioned this. The first one was in Matthew 7, and we'll go there in just a moment. But look at Luke 13 and 24, because here the Lord is answering a question of the disciples. And they, one of them asked, Lord, is there just going to be few that be saved? I don't know what prompted that question necessarily. We'd have to read the context of that passage. But the Lord is telling them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, that narrow gate. Strive to enter. For many, I say unto you. Here's the Lord making somewhat of a puzzling statement, because he's saying, many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And there's no doubt a time frame that he's referring to here, that there will be those who will recognize, I should have been ready. I knew to be prepared, but I wasn't. And now I'm going to attempt to gain entrance. And the Lord is saying, it's not going to work. The door is shut. You can't get in. You'll seek to enter, but you won't be able to because the door is shut. So the Lord is admonishing that there needs to be a seeking and a striving. Strive in the Strong's Concordance gives the Greek connotation to strive as to compete for a prize. If you've been involved in athletics in any degree or any kind of contest, you know you were competing for a prize. And depending on how valuable the prize was, depending on what it contained or what it involved, you put forth a great deal of effort. And then if it wasn't so important and it was just fun, it was just something that you were doing as part of a youth night or something, it was just a fun type thing. But the competition was developed some camaraderie. And the fun was the focus. It wasn't so that you know, elbow and compete and stomp and so on, so that you're number one. No, you're just having fun. But we know that Jesus is saying something here far beyond just a fun competition. And his words in Matthew 7 and 13, where he first initiates this idea of, enter ye in at the straight gate. He expands on it. He elaborates so that we understand there's a deal of seriousness to what he is saying. He is trying to get us to understand you're traveling. You're making a journey. You're going in a certain direction. And there is something that you need to do. And there's not going to be very many who accomplish that. And right off, he lets us know that, and that's not a wet blanket on revival. That's just helping us to understand that there's four types of soil, and good soil is only one of them. And we know that there's a type of soil. Well, all soil is going to produce, but it's not going to be productive for long. He knows that there are those who receive it with joy. They're rejoicing about what has happened, but they don't have root. And when the sun comes up, they begin to wilt and wither. So we understand there's got to be something more that we're pushing for, that we're desiring, than just kind of going with the flow. So he says here, Matthew 7 and 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. And now look at these comparisons. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So strait versus wide, broad versus narrow, many versus few, destruction versus life. The Lord is making this repetition. He's expanding and elaborating on this concept so that we grasp the importance of it and recognize it's not going to happen by accident. You don't end up in Seward by accident. You're heading that direction. The signs point out where you're going. You're not going to end up in Homer as a result. It just works that way. And you're not going to make it in by accident. It's going to be strive, work, reach, stretch, grasp, and focus. How important those concepts are for us to understand. And I don't know about you, but when I read something like many versus few, I'm determined I'm going to be among the few. Amen. Amen. One of our Bible school instructors used to say, and there was our senior class, I think there was 17 of us, something like that, a small Bible school. But he would say, some of you are not going to make it. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that's pretty hard. That's pretty negative. But he just put it out there, said, some of you are not going to make it. And I look back now, and that was a long time ago, but there are several that are not serving God now in the truth. They're not. But every time he would say that, he didn't say it very often, but often enough that it caught my attention. And every time he would say that, I would be determined even more. I'm not going to fall away. I'm not going to go another direction. I'm not going to seek an easier way, a more convenient path, a place of compromise. I'm going to hold to the Word of God. And this is what Jesus is challenging, not only his disciples, but all who heard him. And there was a lot of people, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that heard him say these words. And I wonder how many of them had the connection with themselves and said, I'm not going to fall away. I'm not going to go the wrong direction. I'm not going to go the broad way. But I'm going to follow what he is instructing me to do. Consider the man who had a legion of devils in him. You know, I hesitate to call him legion, because I don't think that was his name. I think it was the devils in him that were called legion. Don't let your past define you. Don't let what you came out of hold you back. Amen. Thank God that that's the way it used to be. But it's not that way now, because of Jesus and his touch and his blessing. Praise God. But through this passage of Luke 8 and 30, if you want to turn there, we're going to look at several verses, because the word entered. Everybody say entered. That word occurs several times in the passage in just the three verses that we're going to focus on here out of this amazing story of the man of Gadara being delivered because of the Lord's touch in his life. So, Luke 8 and 30, Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? He said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And I'm left to wonder, how did that happen? How did a legion of demons enter this man? It's frightful to even consider one. But there was enough to cause 2,000 pigs, as we'll see in the story, 2,000 of them to jump over a bluff or a cliff into a lake and drown. And a huge loss for those people, and that's why they didn't want the Lord there because they were experiencing loss. And I, again, that's something else that I wonder about, the value of this man being restored as compared to 2,000 pigs being gone, and they really hurried and butchered them. They could have recovered a lot of them, seems to me, and had a big luau or something to celebrate this guy being delivered. Amen. But anyway, how did these demons enter him? What gate did he open for them? How did he lower his guard? What did he become involved in? Because it doesn't just happen just like that. It doesn't. Amen. It's just a situation where spiritually you've got to be walking down the wrong road. You've got to be open to the wrong things. You've got to be inviting the wrong influences into your life. And that to me is, pardon me, but it's just stupid. That's stupid. It just doesn't make sense. We know well and good that there is supernatural power that the devil possesses. Not all power. Not all. No. Thank God there's a power in the name of Jesus that's greater than the power of the enemy. Thank the Lord. But somehow this man opened himself up to this influence. It doesn't tell us how, but they were entered into him. And then 31, they besought him that that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him, they prayed, they asked the Lord that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them or allowed them. Then went the devils out of the man, because Jesus is bringing deliverance. Jesus is making a difference. Jesus is producing positive change for this man. And they entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked or were drowned. And death and destruction being the direction that the devil will take whatever he grabs a hold of, whether it be animal life or whether it be human life. I like the way, however, even the demons prayed. Even they sought the Lord and asked him for their request. James 2 and 19 tells us, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. And no doubt they were trembling in this situation. In fact, verse 28 of Luke 8 gives another prayer of those demons. I beseech thee. They're calling out to Jesus the Christ. I beseech thee, torment me not. And I thought, that's ironic. Not wanting to be tormented, but that's exactly what they do. That's exactly their purpose. They're going to torment. They're going to terrify. They're going to strike fear. They're going to cause sleepless nights. They're going to cause turmoil and problems. Thank the Lord, our God knows how to torment them. Amen. And we can pray and ask the Lord, turn the tables on them, Lord. Amen. In fact, it's a good thing for you to be obedient, for you to walk with God, for you to pray and fast and trust the Lord, discipline your life, and obey the commandments of God, because that's the way to give the devil a bad day. He gives you enough bad days. He gives you enough situations that cause you pain and turmoil and trouble. I think we ought to turn the tables on the devil. Amen. But they besought Jesus to go into the swine rather than into the deep or the abyss. It's not just talking about the deep of the lake that's there. Remember, this is where Jesus stood up and said, peace be still, and immediately it was calm. And that's what the man from Gadara saw. He saw that storm and could identify with it and say, that's the way my life is. My life is all topsy-turvy. My life is all messed up. My life is like that storm out there. And all of a sudden, it was calm. He saw that. And then he could identify also and say, I want my life to be peaceful. I want my life to be calm. And he saw that boat coming to the shore, and he ran to worship Jesus. But the devils were trying to control him. However, now they've encountered the one, praise God, the Holy One, amen, who has power over them, and they tremble at his name, praise God. And they besought him, they prayed, they asked, they requested to go into the pigs. No, the devil doesn't care who or what he goes into. That's pretty gross. So why should I allow his influence in my life? Why should I listen to his voice? Why should I give heed to the doubts and unbelief that he's trying to trigger in my life? I don't need his influence. I don't need his pressure. I don't need his lies in my heart or my mind. Amen. I'll hear his voice, but I don't need to heed him. I'll see what he's doing, but I don't need to seek him. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we are able to find deliverance by the power of our God. I'll be tempted by him, but I don't need to be trapped. Praise God. Because I'm going to guard my gates. I'm not going to let that influence come in my life. Sister Bonnie Marshall in Alexandria came out of the Hindu religion. And she's got quite a presentation on how some of the common practices of society today with piercing and painting tattoos is an open door to a lot of that influence. And so many of our youth, and not just the youth, but so many of our society is looking at that. I don't know what they're looking at it as. Artistic? Not artistic. Dear Lord, help us. I don't know why they are seeking after that. Obviously, there's a part of people that make it seem as though it's attractive, and what they don't understand is it's an open door for demonic influence. And that's the danger. So I've got to guard. I've got to make sure I'm not going to open up to those things. Amen. I'm going to hold on to the power of the Lord. All right? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Let me have somebody read for me here. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. We need to deny entrance of the devil. Deny entrance of the situations that he tries to bring to our lives so that we're careful about what we allow into our lives. Okay, John, read, please, 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Okay, we're not ignorant of his devices. That doesn't mean, however, that we engage in a study of Satanology. That doesn't mean that I go and take a course down here on tarot cards and whatever else they advertise and so on. It amazes me that lady was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name right here. And now that's the direction they're going. God, again, there's a warning. Don't open yourself up to areas and situations that are going to produce problems in your life. Not ignorant of his devices, but that doesn't mean we do a study on Satan. It means we guard. We are aware of his deceit, of his lies. And self-deceit is an area that I think he works on especially hard, because just as we've pointed out, there's not a lot of actual demon possession now like there used to be 40 years ago. The devil has changed his tactics. He uses the flesh now. He attacks your flesh. And that's much more effective, because you can't cast out the flesh. You cast out devils through the power of the name of Jesus, through prayer, through believing the Lord. And you get rid of that influence, praise God, just like this man from Gadara was delivered. But the flesh that the devil uses now, and substances and addictions and habits and so on, that are directly feeding the flesh and attached to the flesh, it doesn't work in the same way. So don't be ignorant of his devices. Amen. Now, there's a focus on verse 10, John. There's a word or a connection of words that is repeated a whole bunch of times. Can you tell me what that word is as you're looking at verse 10?
Forgive.
Exactly. Forgive. And I think the apostle mentions it here, well, I don't know how many times. Five times? That's one of his devices. That's one of the areas that the devil is going to latch on to you with an unforgiving spirit. And that's perhaps why the apostle said, we're talking about this aspect of forgiveness. And he said, you know, don't let Satan get an advantage of you. Don't be ignorant of what he's trying to do here in trying to instill an unforgiving spirit, trying to put that attitude and that kind of a pollution in your spirit. No, don't let that happen. Amen. Because you can't, unforgiveness blocks the bridge that you need to cross. And it doesn't make sense. So we're not gonna fall for that. Amen. We're gonna deny entrance of the devil in that way, and make sure that an unforgiving spirit is not what we're going to be a part of. All right? 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. John, go ahead. You're in 2 Corinthians there. Hop over to chapter 11 and verse 14. And here again, the context we'll look at. But let's read 14 to start with.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Okay. No marvel. That's... Don't be astounded at that. Don't think that is just an amazing thing, but recognize Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. He can come with the deceit, with the okay that what you're contemplating, what you're being tempted with, what you're looking at is fine. Go right ahead. That's good for you. And that's the exact same temptation that Eve and Adam fell for. God knows you eat of it, you're going to be like God. You're going to know the difference between good and evil. Huh. Well, they fell for it. And an angel of light. Verse 13 talks about false apostles and deceitful workers transforming themselves. So this transformation idea, the apostle is capitalizing on here. Verse 15, the devil's ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. How in the world does that happen? That seems to be poles apart. North Pole, South Pole. How could that be? But again, it's the deceit and the trickery, the deception of the devil to, again, make something that is wrong seem okay. That's what we've got to keep out. That's what we've got to make sure that we're not allowing Satan as a transformed angel of light to influence our life. No marvel about that. And they can't help but marvel about it. But what the apostle is trying to say is, don't be surprised if something like this happens. Don't be surprised if you face that kind of temptation, because the devil is going to attempt that. Praise God. But the way we defeat him is being transformed ourselves. And those false apostles and deceitful workers and ministers of unrighteousness, really, who are masquerading as ministers of righteousness, we make ourselves be transformed, not conformed to this world. Romans 12 and 2 tells us, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, Thank God that that renewal is what God is able to do in our times of prayer, in our times of worship, in our times of study of the Word of God. There's a renewal that is going on, that the power of the Lord alone can accomplish that, and we reach out for His blessing and His goodness. Praise God. And I think that can become a prayer request too. Lord, renew my mind. Let me prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Let me reach for what you have. Let me be that living sacrifice. Let me be holy and acceptable unto you, God. Let me exercise my reasonable service. You pray the word of God like that, and an angel of light like the devil is not going to be able to penetrate your armor. Praise God. You'll deny him entrance. Praise God. Now, before Jesus was crucified, this is an interesting point that occurred to me, that the Lord admonished people, take up your cross and follow me. Now, he had not been on the cross yet. That was coming. But now he says, take up your cross and follow me. Huh. If you do so, and look at Mark 8 and 34. Mark 8 and 34, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will. Oftentimes we get the whosoever will as to drink of the water of life freely, and whosoever hears my voice and opens the door and so on. You know, that kind of a connotation. But here he's saying, whoever will, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Amen. And thank God that that's not just a select few. That's whoever will. Whoever heeds his voice and desires to follow after the Lord. Now, when that cross is on your back or on your shoulder, there's some doorways you're not going to be able to get into when you've got that cross, when you're carrying a cross, you're following the Lord. You're not going to be able to enter certain areas. It's just not going to work. I had a friend at Bible school, and maybe this was one of the ones that our Bible college professor was referring to. Some of you are not going to make it. He's not living for God now. But he told me about going to a bar so that they could witness. And they didn't drink anything. They didn't carry on. They didn't do any of this stuff. They were just talking to people. I'm sure he thought that was radical. I thought it was reckless, and that portion of scripture, that statement that Jesus made, "Don't cast your pearls before swine." I wonder if that applies. I wonder if that's the setting that is really it's going to make Romans 14:16 happen in your experience, where the apostle wrote, "Let not your good be evil spoken of." Amen. That's what we've got to make sure we don't step into. Amen. I got three calls one time. Got a call from a mom, a call from a dad, and a call from the young man. What's wrong with going to a dance? This should be okay. And my word, all three of them just bending my ear that it should be okay to go to a dance. Now, we know that the scripture talks about praising the Lord in the dance and high-sounding cymbals and so on. Brother Levi shared share scripture. And really, that's not a dance. I guess it's a hopping around or something. We call it a dance. But in my experience, and I didn't start serving God till I was 15, in my experience, dances are decadent. Nothing holy about them. A prayer meeting is not going to break out on the dance floor. Not going to happen. Modesty is not going to be maintained. Pure thoughts are not going to be prevalent. And so, should I carry my cross onto that dance floor? No, it's not going to work. That's not going to be a witness unto the Lord. I can't enter there. That's the important thing. Okay, so I look out here now and everybody would nod their head. I haven't been to a bar. Nod your head. I haven't been to a dance. Nod your head. Or no, should we be shaking our head? Whatever it is. I haven't. Okay. But what about a website? Entering a website. On the news, MSN or Fox News, those are my two home pages. The pictures are bad enough. My word, you've got to bounce your eyes constantly. Just trying to read news items and these various pictures that are there on the page. It's bad enough that way. I don't need to be going to other sites. I don't need to enter those things. Facebook is a good place to put good news, but there's a lot of gossip there. There's a lot of wasted time. So I got to make sure, again, nothing questionable is going to be what I enter into. Okay, because I've got this cross that I'm carrying. It identifies me with him. And so certainly a porn site I am not going to enter. But the ease and how quick the click can be, and there you are. And it's a terrible thing. No wonder, however, and we can see now the connection of a World Wide Web and the internet. The devil's trying to catch you in a web and in a net. That's what they're for. But you've got to be determined. I'm not going to enter that. I'm not going to enter that nonsense. I'm not going to be a part of that. No matter how easy, no matter how prevalent, no matter how attractive, no matter how tempting, I'm not going to enter. Amen. Because I want to enter somewhere else. Amen. I want to enter somewhere else. Praise God. I don't want to get in this mess. Praise God. But I can't let thoughts enter either. And it doesn't have to be thoughts of lust, even though society is definitely gearing everything that direction. With sales and just everything, it's easy to be confronted with that. But thoughts of envy, where, no, I wish I had. I wish I could be. Why do they have? You know, the envy that can trap us. Or something that goes with the unforgiving spirit that the apostle was trying to warn against. Vengeance. I'm going to get my paybacks. I'm going to make them pay. So those thoughts can be there. I can't let those things enter me, nor can I enter into that kind of action. I want another entrance. Praise God. Amen. And look at Revelation 21:27. Revelation 21:27. There are some things that are not going to enter heaven. And if they did, it would cease to be heaven. It would no longer be that place of purity. So Revelation 21:27, let me read from the NIV. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? Nothing impure, nothing shameful, nothing deceitful, and that lying aspect in the King James is what they're referring to there. No lying. I need to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where I need to be. That's where I want to have my name entered. Praise God. I want to enter into that heavenly realm. Praise God. And not be denied entrance. There are areas that I've got to deny entrance, as just we talked about. I can't let myself get caught up in stupid things. I've got to make sure I'm focused on entering in to that heavenly place. 2 Peter 1:10. 2 Peter 1:10 and verse 11 is a summary of the admonition to add to your faith. Add to your faith. And then it goes on with that list of adding to your faith. Thank God the Lord. And look at that list. If you're there in 2 Peter 1, none of it is negative. Add to your faith virtue, and the virtue of knowledge, knowledge temperance, brotherly kindness, charity, and so on. All of those good things. That's what the Lord adds to your life. Good things. Not negative things, not bad things, not things to pull you down. Good things. And so if you do that, the apostle says, if you give diligence to make your calling and election sure, if you do these things, everybody say, do these things, you shall never fall. Wow, that's quite a promise. You're always going to make it. You're not going to fall short. And then look at verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An abundant entrance. Praise God. Not just barely squeezing by, but an abundant entrance that the Lord is going to say, welcome, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Praise God. So be diligent to do the things that please the Lord. Amen. Now, let's get back to the story of the talents, where they were invited to enter the joy of the Lord. The one with 5 talents gained 5 more. The one with 2 talents gained 2 more. The one with 2 did not sit and mope because this guy had 3 more than he did. No, he just, man, bang, got right on increasing what he had. So the one with 5 joyfully produced 5 more. The one with 2 more. Each gained the same percentage instead of wishing that they had more. Here's what's got to happen. Do what you can with what you have where you are. Amen. That's faithfulness. Do what you can with what you have where you are. And don't be looking at, no, if only this, if only that, if only over here or over there. No, do what you can with what you have where you are, and the Lord will be pleased with you. Praise God. Now, that doesn't mean don't try to improve your talents. Don't try to gain more skills. Don't try to get a raise. No, I'm not saying that, because all of that can glorify the Lord and increase your ability to bless the kingdom of God. Amen. But use what you have. Praise God. The one with 1 talent returned the 1 talent, but he didn't have an increase. 2 entered into the joy of the Lord. And I think you and I can as well. Praise God. We can experience the joy of the Lord. That's the important thing. That's the thing we've got to grab a hold of. Luke 10:17, the disciples came with joy because they recognized the power of the name of Jesus over the devil. Even the devils are subject unto us through your name, Lord. Praise God. At the end of the book of Luke, when the Lord is ascending up into heaven, he tells them, go to Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Because repentance and remission of sins will be preached in my name beginning at Jerusalem. So he pointed them to that place. And the Bible says they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Amen. Oh, they were gazing, they were looking, they were wanting to see him one last time. But based on his promise, based on his commands, with great joy, they went back to Jerusalem. Praise God. Excited to obey the things of the Lord. in Acts chapter 2, after receiving the Holy Ghost and mass baptism that they must have had, they went on rejoicing. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and 3,000 more added to the church. They were steadfast in doctrine. Verse 46, and then they continued daily with gladness. Amen. There was a joy that was in their hearts. Even when prison and punishment were part of their lives, and when they were beaten, Acts 5 and 41 says, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Wow. What an attitude. Deciding, Lord, thank you for letting us be identified with you. Lord, thank you for letting us be called by your name. Praise God. And their backs are bruised and bloody. They've been in jail. They've been mistreated. They've been talked down to. They've been ridiculed. They were glad to suffer for him. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Not to have a pity party every time something happens in our situation, but to hold on to the joy that the Lord desires to bring into our lives. In Acts 8 and 8, even before they received the Holy Ghost, even before they were baptized in Jesus' name, there was great joy in the city. Amen. And thank God, when you obey the commands of the Lord, there's even more joy that the Lord is able to produce. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. They received the Spirit. The revival spread to other Samaritan villages. And Philip went preaching in the desert to an Ethiopian, and who, when he was caught up, I believe a prototype of the rapture, and Philip was just blasted out of that place where he was baptizing the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Praise God. Probably wondering, what happened to him? Where'd he go? Taught me some good things. Showed me from that passage in Isaiah who he's talking about, Jesus. And now he is baptized in the name of the Lord, praise God, and no doubt received the Holy Ghost as well. In fact, Brother Treese was doing some research in Alexandria, and as you know, he can read Greek, and he found a passage where the Ethiopian did receive the Holy Ghost, praise God, in another document that was there in that library written in Greek. Amen, because that's the word of the Lord, the plan of God. So we want to enter the joy of the Lord eternally. John heard the angels in their kind of a hallelujah hubbub getting all excited about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let us be glad and rejoice. The marriage supper of the Lamb is coming. His wife hath made herself ready. Praise God. And all that mighty thunderings and the voice of many waters and all of that noise, praise God, is the excitement of the fact that it's coming. Praise God. All right, look at Revelation 22 and 14. Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. That's what it comes down to, isn't it? We're back to that effort that you make, that striving, that reaching, that stretching yourself and disciplining yourself. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Praise God. That's why we deny entrance in those other areas. That's why we hold ourselves back from getting involved in the things that the world is saying you need to participate, you need to be a part, you need to fit in. No, we hold ourselves back because we know there's another entrance I'm going to. Praise God. I want to enter in through the gates into that city. The tree of life is there. The gates are pearl. Oh, man. How incredible. The names of the tribes of Israel are written on the gates. But that's not what concerns me so much, nor the names of the apostles that are written on the foundation. I want to worship the one whose name is above every name. Hallelujah. I want to exalt him. I want to lift him up. And so it's important. Do his commandments. so that you can enter the joy of the Lord. Amen. Stand with me tonight. That seems such a oversimplified solution. It seems like so easy. Just 1, 2, 3, ABC. And we recognize here what he's saying. Seems like it'd be more complicated than that. It'd be more involved. There's more that would be wrapped up in it. No. Do his commandments so you can enter the joy of the Lord. Praise God. And thank the Lord. However long ago you were baptized in the name of Jesus and you kept that commandment. However long ago you received the Spirit of the Lord and spoke in other tongues. However long ago you've been walking the highway of holiness, there's still the need to do his commandments. There's still more that he holds out to you. There's still more that he's saying, come, let me show you. Let me help you. Let me bring something more into your experience. Praise God. So that we can enter in. See, he keeps calling us to him. He keeps drawing us. He keeps giving us instruction in his word, like what Peter said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. And somehow we got a ratio there of you take one step to the Lord, he'll take two towards you. It doesn't say that. Oh, thank God, you make a move toward the Lord, he's going to be right there with you. Praise God. With his power, with his blessing, with his strength, because he wants you to enter in with him. Praise God. Amen. And thank the Lord, that can be our focus as well. That can be our desire. I want to make sure I make it. Praise God. Would you close your eyes for just a moment here tonight? I want you to focus on that thought. I want you to just focus with all your being on that one statement. I'm going to make it. I'm going to enter in. I'm not going to miss. I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to turn. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to listen to the lies of Lucifer. No, I'm going to follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Come and pray tonight. Amen. Come and pray. We need to pray.